Good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. Timothy's Church in Crookes, Sheffield. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We're going to begin with a prayer. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. It's good to be able to worship God together, but don't worry, the time will come again, I'm sure, when we can all be together again in this building. We have our Bible readings now, and our first is from Jack, and Jack, I can just step aside for you for this one, can't I?
Good morning. The first reading today is from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, and 15 and 16. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come up from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jack. Our next reading is from Phil Parker, and he sent this to us on the recording. Over to Phil.
Morning, St. Tim's. Today's gospel reading comes from Mark's gospel, and I'm reading chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. And in this passage in Mark's gospel, Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples the fate that awaits him in Jerusalem. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and that after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Out of my sight, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Phil. God's people had been waiting for Jesus for hundreds of years. In fact, the promise to Abraham goes back thousands of years. But the time has finally arrived when Jesus is here. And how does Jesus present himself? He didn't begin his public ministry with the words, Hi, I'm the Messiah. I believe you've been expecting me. He said, Consider what you know and what you hear and see. Old Testament passages referring to Jesus were interpreted in many ways by many different groups, so there was never a precise picture of what to expect from the Messiah. Even Jesus' own disciples struggled to understand his mission. In reading Mark's Gospel as a story, many people have described how the content has a careful structure, and there's clear division into two halves. In a Gospel of 16 chapters, our New Testament reading this morning was from chapter 8, so we're about halfway through. Geographically, the first half of Mark's Gospel centres around Galilee, and the main focus is on who Jesus is. Indeed, the question is asked specifically several times and in many ways. Who does he think he is? We hear the people say. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who is this that drives out demons? And Jesus wouldn't let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Who is it that even the winds and waves obey him? Who is this who preaches and teaches with such authority? Isn't this just Mary's son, the carpenter? Eventually we hear Jesus ask his followers directly, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples answer, "Some say you're John the Baptist and you're raised to life again. Others say you're Elijah or maybe another one of the prophets." And so the first half of our gospel reaches its climax in the paragraph just before today's reading, when the question is finally answered. Jesus asked his disciples directly, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replies, "You are the Christ, the Messiah." And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Maybe Jesus doesn't want the disciples to say he's the Messiah, because along with every other first century Jew, they would seriously misunderstand what that meant. The Messiah was supposed to deliver Israel from all oppressors and lead them into a new golden age. But some Jews were looking for a warrior to overthrow the Romans. Some were looking for a king with wealth and power who would command and expect obedience. This was not Jesus' aim. He had come to serve, not to be served. So what Jesus' disciples got was a Messiah who didn't identify with people of influence and wealth. The Messiah chose instead to identify with the sort of people that Donald Trump would certainly call losers, outcasts and sinners, the sick, the weak, the widow, the orphan, the poor. Today's reading marks the start of the second half of Mark's Gospel, which takes us on the journey away from Galilee to Jerusalem and to the cross. As soon as Jesus is identified as the Messiah, suddenly the theme is more about what Jesus has come to do. And in understanding his purposes, we learn about our purpose as followers of Jesus. Our purpose in the light of his purpose. He begins to teach them about the kind of Messiah he would be. Not a conquering, triumphant Messiah who overthrows the Romans and restores Israel, but one who must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the religious leaders, and be killed. This isn't what the disciples want to hear, and Peter tries to argue. But if the disciples find the idea of the suffering Messiah hard to take, worse was to come. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Nowadays, a cross I have to bear is something of a symbolic burden, a thankless task, a long-standing inconvenience. But to a person in the first century, the cross meant only one thing: death by the most painful and humiliating means a human mind could conceive. This was not a way of winning enthusiastic support. It was not a rallying cry. But the disciples needed to hear this message. and they needed to hear it now before they left Galilee, while they were still safe and not too far from home. They needed to hear it so they could be prepared for the worst, so they could begin to build up their courage. They needed to hear it and absorb it long before it actually started to happen, so that when it did happen, they could be thinking, okay, this is what we expected, rather than, oh no, something's gone terribly wrong. They needed to know what they were facing as they set out on this path with Jesus. It's a bit like a warning in a fire lecture about tackling a fire. The fire lecture doesn't say, don't do it. It says, before you do it, be very clear about what you're getting into. It's a hard choice. And we can understand Peter's reaction. No, not that. Surely there's some other way. But Jesus can't be dealing with any temptation to waver at this point. Jesus had to go over the message several times before they get it. It's repeated not just as a record of what Jesus said, but as a message to people who begin to follow Jesus much later and find themselves suffering persecution, that following Jesus is demanding and costly, but that this is expected, and their suffering too is in God's hands. Life would be much easier if Jesus went with us wherever we went, so that we could make the decisions we wanted and have Jesus there to help us. I must admit, I too rarely go to God with a blank agenda and ask him what he wants to put on it. If I'm honest, I trust that God will inspire my actions, and that if I try to stay faithful to Christian principles, the things I do of my own volition will be in line with God's will. That translates as, I don't usually ask God. I usually have an idea and then ask God to bless it. I know that's not good enough. By the grace of God, it often works out, but it's not the same as saying, at every choice and every decision, your will be done, not mine. If I'm always left to answer my own questions, how often would the answer be, take a bowl and a towel, get on your knees and wash feet? No picking and choosing which feet, Roger. Everyone's feet. Even the feet of those who would betray you. Jesus wants to stop us from being self-centred and asks us to become God and other people-centred. He calls us to be not self-assertive, not to promote ourselves. This is entirely contrary to what we are told is a path to success in today's world. For some Christians in some parts of the world, to take up our cross really does mean following Jesus to a martyr's death. We are lucky to live in a country where Christianity is not persecuted, not really. But it could be that a lot of us, even those of us who are retired, need to ask if there's something God is calling to us, some new thing, something more. It might not be a horrible thing. It might be some new venture which will stretch us and challenge us in unexpected ways. It may well not lead to death and suffering. I hope not. But it could take us well out of our comfort zones. So let us be open to God, open to being challenged, open to supporting others. Let us pick up our cross and go for it. And let us do this in the confidence that God is with us all the way. Amen. We now together make our profession of faith in the words of the Creed, which will be on the screen for you. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of earth and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's worship again in the words of a great old hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you. I now have pleasure in inviting Jackie Staniforth to lead us in prayers.
Hello everyone, let us pray. Father, we bring before you our troubled world. You've given us such a beautiful place to live in and charged us with caring for it. But we've made such a muddle by our thoughtlessness and greed. Our lack of care has upset the equilibrium of the climate. So we're facing the real possibility of the world becoming unlivable in. Help us to work together to conserve our resources and stop the increasing rising temperature. We particularly hold up to you the United Nations Climate Change Conference to be held this November in Glasgow. Give wisdom to those attending and give every country the will to cooperate in dealing with this threat. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, so many people lead lives totally unaware of your presence. We pray that the country will have a renewal in faith and that more people will come to know and love you. We thank you for the St. Tim's family and pray for the changes that will be taking place this year. May we all work together to serve our neighbours in Crooks and to bring awareness of your presence among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you, Father, all among us who are sick or facing difficulties due to disability. May they cooperate so that they feel loved and supported, their presence valued, and their problems minimised. Pray for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. May your presence bring them peace. Father, we're all so diverse and have been blessed with so many different abilities. Help us not to compare ourselves with each other, try to prove all the time that we're the best. Help us rather to do the tasks which come our way to the best of our ability. It's so easy to get caught up in the multitude of daily tasks, and instead of concentrating on the task in hand, to worry about what we have to do next. Help us to slow down, to remember your presence, and in the words of St. Paul, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jackie. Let's conclude our prayers in the words of the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you to all of you who have helped us put together this act of worship. And now may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen. Our closing hymn is Praise to the Holiest in the Height.